Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about the health benefits of singing. Okay, so that was more humming than singing, but hey, I'm embarrassed. But listen, you know, this is a topic that is really close to my heart because for many years, those of you that know me well will know that I spent a lot of time singing. And I still do, but mainly in the shower, into my MacBook or on karaoke nights. But is there something special about singing and health? Well, I think there is. If you look at activities that you do in your life, we know about the health benefits of being outdoors or exercise or eating a balanced, healthy diet or good sleep. But what about singing? It's something that is in all of us. And I know a lot of people don't do it because they feel that they can't carry a tune or that they're tone deaf. But actually, I think it is one of the most accessible things that we can do as human beings. And for me, it started many years ago when I was at school, when I was really quite young, probably age 6 or 7. And I think like most parents, my parents thought it might be an idea to, you know, get me to take up an instrument. So I took up piano and violin, and then singing kind of blended in. And it was weird because I originally started by singing in choirs, and then as time went on, I decided to take that further and started taking singing lessons. And you know, at the time I remember thinking I wanted to just sound like my big vocal heroes, you know, George Michael, Freddie Mercury, Prince, then Morton Harkett from A-ha, Andy Bell from Erasure, Axl Rose. Anyway, the list goes on. I don't want to bore you, but something magical happened when I started taking singing lessons. I had a brilliant teacher called Jeanette Ives. And what she taught me was that there was actually a lot more to singing than I'd appreciated. And certainly as a 13, 14-year-old, slightly distracted teenager, initially I didn't really know where she was coming from. And she kept talking about how breathing and poise and temperament and all of these things really fed into singing, and also explained to me that someone's voice is often one of the first things to become affected when they're under a lot of stress, and that singing is connected to not just our lungs but also our gut and our nervous system. And she was also very much into Alexander technique, and we focused a lot on breathing. It kind of washed over me. I didn't really take it in at the time and took it for granted. And one of the things that I noticed she was really big on was the breathing in singing. So most pop singers sometimes cheat and sing from the throat, and that's necessary sometimes to get up to the higher notes. But proper singing, in inverted commas, really you breathe from your belly and you do belly breathing, and that's really where your shoulders don't rise when you take a breath in, but your belly moves in and out, and it's often known as abdominal breathing, and I'll post a link to that, of course. But forgetting that for the time being, singing is accessible to everyone, and it doesn't matter whether you belly breathe or not. The point is, you're using your voice, and there is something very personal about that compared to playing an instrument, which is almost one step removed from yourself. You know, hammering some keys on a piano or blowing into a saxophone is great, but singing is much more personal. And my first experience of using singing therapeutically for myself was when I was 15 or 16. I'd got into some trouble at school and my parents were summoned in for a meeting, and I remember absolutely being totally petrified about what they would say when they came back home, and I kept sort of peering out the window nervously thinking, oh, their car's going to pull up any minute. And what I did in that time between them leaving the house and coming back a couple of hours later was I just sang. And I didn't realise it at the time, but that whole meditative process of singing a song and holding notes and breathing and what it does to your nervous system, which we'll go through a little bit later, really, really helped calm me down. Well, until they got home and read me the Riot Act. So rather than go straight into the benefits of singing, I want to put it into some kind of context. And a few years ago, some of you may remember that the newspapers were running headlines such as NHS should prescribe tango dancing and book clubs, not a pill for every ill. And I remember at the time some of my medical colleagues were annoyed about this, thinking, well, hang on, how's that going to help you if you've got appendicitis? Well, of course it won't, because appendicitis is an acute condition that means you need emergency attention. But what it was referring to really was the advent of social prescribing and the fact that lifestyle, and by that I mean our habits and behaviours and our environment, essentially impact our health, as we know. And because it all sounds very soft, people don't realise that, you know, activities such as dancing or singing have an impact on our health that is measurable, except not many people study those things because of a lack of funding or because it's not an actual treatment or therapy like a drug. But if we take singing as an example, because that's what this episode is about, and just think through some of the benefits that you get from that, they are honestly quite remarkable. So on a very base level, the first thing is that it's a form of exercise. And in terms of our physiology, to understand the benefits, one of the things that it's important to remember is that singing stimulates your vagus nerve. So you may remember that the vagus nerve is the main nerve that runs from your brain to your gut, and also the nerve that calms us down, if you like. So it does the opposite of the fight or flight response. It's the nerve that is stimulated when we meditate or do yoga or relax. By the way, a really quick way to stimulate your vagus nerve is to lie with your legs up against the wall, so that you're snug, so your bum is sort of snug against the wall, or as near as to the wall as you can get it. But that vagus nerve stimulation alone from singing has a wealth of effects, including reducing feelings of stress, but also there was a study that showed that singing reduces your levels of cortisol. Now, whether that's linked to the vagus nerve is difficult to say. Indirectly, they will be. But cortisol is a stress hormone. So when you're stressed, your cortisol levels go up and cause havoc. If it's happening repeatedly in the long term, it will affect your blood sugar, it will affect your sleep, it will affect many factors in your life. Impressed? Maybe not. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the next one. So singing also potentially improves your immune response. So there was a small study in 2004 that showed increased levels of something called immunoglobulin A, which is the part of our immune system in our secretions, which helps us fight off things like viruses. And viruses, as we know, can commonly affect our lungs, and singing also improves lung function. There is a really compelling study which I was privileged enough to go and film about on as a news article for the BBC, which again I'll post a link to, that looked at patients who had COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is hard to manage. And actually in the study, which was done at Christchurch University in Kent, it proved that those that took up singing or sang in a choir actually improved their lung volume. Absolutely astonishing in some ways, because they as a group had established lung disease. And we know if you have healthy lungs, it improves lung capacity. And sticking with that story, obviously they were singing in a group, in a choir. And that has a health benefit. We know about the power of community and the fact that connection is really important, a sense of belonging. And that improves people's sense of well-being, that kind of sense that you're bonded to other people, which in turn can improve your mood. And guess what? Singing on its own has been shown in studies to improve mental health and mood. So, still not impressed? Well, sticking with the brain for the time being, there are also studies that show that singing improves cognitive function, including in those people with dementia. Now, rather than just rattle off a list of benefits, which I'm kind of doing, what is worth thinking about is what's going on here. This is a really good example of systems biology at play. So the mechanisms of all these benefits are interconnected. There's vagal nerve stimulation, there's breathing control, there's increased oxygenation. Singing ticks a lot of boxes and touches a lot of bases. And again, sticking with the brain, there are benefits that have been shown in Parkinson's disease and also for people who stutter, interestingly, or just to improve speaking ability after conditions such as stroke. So I haven't even touched on some of the other benefits, such as snoring or anxiety or improving neuroplasticity or helping with grief. You know, the list goes on. I just want to stop for a second and reflect on all the things I've mentioned so far about the benefits of singing. And I'd like you to imagine that singing is the name of a drug. So you've got like a box of pills and they're called singing. And what would happen if you took one of those every day? And what would happen if you knew that those were the benefits that that medication was going to give you? What if singing was a drug? It's a bit of an abstract comparison, but I think a valid one, because the reason it doesn't stand up is because drugs are studied and tested to the nth degree, and of course singing isn't, although there are countless studies on it and its health benefits. So coming full circle to those headlines in the paper, there is validity to that, and it's all about the context of a person's life. And if you're someone who sings, hey, you know what, you'll know a lot of this because you will have felt the benefits, I'm sure. If you're not, I would really urge you to take up singing. Doesn't matter whether it's just in the shower. And, you know, if you're interested in taking it up more formally, nowadays it is so easy to do that. You don't have to always do it in groups if you don't fancy that. There are so many online courses and introduction courses to singing that it might just change your life. I know I'm biased because it's something that I've loved for most of my life. And, you know, I don't know where I'd be without it, to be honest, because singing, music, all of that stuff nourishes me. And I want it to nourish you too. So I'm going to leave you with a quote. There are lots on singing, unsurprisingly, but this one really resonates with me. And it's what I meant when I was trying to articulate how it's different to other instruments. And it's by Joe Stewart. And it's this: singing is one of the most organic forms of humanity. I think that's so apt, because there's something soul-bearing about singing. And on a spiritual, non-medical level, perhaps that's why it confers so much benefit to us. Who knows? So some of you might be expecting me to sing a few lines. I'm not going to. The humming at the beginning of this episode was enough. And actually, the very first line of my episode on loneliness has a line of me singing, if you really want to hear it. But listen, thank you for listening. I really hope that has made you think a little bit about how something so simple can have so many health benefits. And I do encourage you to think about taking it up if you're not someone who sings. And if you're already singing, the only thing that's better than singing is more singing. In the meantime, I'll be with you again soon. Do stay well. Take care. Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.